Hey, what's up, family? And in today's video, we're going to be talking about the five potential things that could be keeping you from profiting in every area, with the first one being distraction. Before we get into those points, let's first define a couple of things that will help us set the tone so that we can better understand the areas that is hindering profitability, and also to begin to assess how we can really invest and bring out the best for God to use. But the first thing that I want to give you is the problem. I wrote here, many people have empty accounts where God is expecting a profit. Many people have empty accounts where God is expecting a profit. God is expecting a profit and is expecting a return from every area of our lives. A lot of individuals, they're profiting one-dimensionally. When God has given us influence, opportunities, and capabilities and talents where we were designed not to be one-dimensional in profits, but to profit in every area. A lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of successful people, they're profiting financially. They're profiting professionally, but they're not profiting relationally. They're not profiting personally. And so it's important for us to assess all the accounts that we have so that when we're standing to take an account in eternity, then we'll be able to say, God, here is my life. And here is where I'm profiting. Here is where you got a return. So the problem is many people have empty accounts where God is expecting a profit and a return. I also wrote here, God wants us to profit in every area. God wants us to profit in every area. I also put this, because profits push God's businesses forward. When we profit relationally, it pushes the family design forward. When we profit in our marriages, it pushes the marital design forward. When we profit personally and holistically, it pushes God's original designs for holistic health forward. When we profit in all of these different areas, it pushes the kingdom's business forward. That's why I love about our model. That was modeled through the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus was about his father's business at age 12. How many of us from the age 12 to however we old now, we have yet to be about our father's business, our father's businesses? God has a way that we're supposed to function in marriage. The way he has a way for us to function in parenting. There is a way that God wants us to function that will naturally profit. And when we profit and we grow from those investments, it pushes the kingdom designs, the kingdom businesses forward generationally. So when we have that frame of mind where we've heard me speak this many times, that a wise man or woman leaves an inheritance to their children's children. So if you and I are not thinking generationally, then we're not going to be prompt to profit in the key areas of our lives. So God wants us to profit in every area because profits pushes the kingdom's businesses forward. I also wrote, here are the areas God is looking for growth and a return. I wrote these, and these points and what I'm about to bring you through, and make sure you stay with me because at the end, I'm going to introduce you to my profit framework, a framework that will help you profit in every area that I put my high-level entrepreneurs through in my Fulfillment Elite program. And so I'm bringing it to you guys for free here, and I'm going to give you a free worksheet to be able to navigate through it so that you can begin to see some fruit in profiting in every area. But here are the areas that I walk those clients through and that I walk those that I coach through. These are the five areas that God is looking for growth and a return. God is looking for generational profit, personal profit and growth, relational, professional, and financial. Generational. God thinks in generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God thinks generationally. And God wants us to cultivate talents, traits, attributes that can be passed down into our children's children, pushing God's divine designs forward. generational. God wants us to be thinking about our children's children with the intent for them to never have to start over. Because imagine the turmoil you and I may have had to go through when we were not inherited, when we didn't inherit these different things, and how we had to start over. God's goal was never meant for anyone in a generational pipeline of anyone's lives to have to start over. It is not God's design for your children to have to start over. There should be some level of profitability. There should be some level of return that funnels through the generational pipeline where your children has in their different accounts profits and returns, where in their lives they have relational, professional, personal, financial, generational profits that will push them into their purpose, that will push them even more into God. So God wants us to profit generationally. He's looking for a return. He's watching how we act, observing how we navigate to see if we're even thinking about our children's children or our legacy. Next, God wants us to grow and profit, and he's expected a return in our personal wellness. God is looking for a return. He wants a vital vessel, a vibrant vessel, a vessel of vision where there's no division between spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to get to a place where each area of our lives is working harmoniously, that our spirit, soul, and body are in unison, submitted to the Holy Spirit, and is journeying to their divine destination. So God is looking for a personal return. How are you profiting spiritually? Can God use the extra in your spiritual growth to grow other areas? What about your emotional growth and profitability? Do you have an emotional intelligence that can profit your relationships, that can benefit your relationships, that can be invested in your relationships? What about the mental fortitude and the mental thinking abilities that will position you to be able to critically think and problem solve? What about the physical vitality? Are you able to invest energy and vibrancy and health into your children, relationships, etc.? God is also looking for a relational return from relational growth. Is there a relational profit? Every year at the end of your year, can your marriage take profits from that year into the next year? Is there such an abundance of love, such an abundance of joy, such an abundance of teamwork, such an abundance of synergy at the end of every year that will carry over into the next year? Or how many marriages and relationships have no profit? They don't profit at all. And if there's no profit, there's no growth. If a business doesn't profit, that business doesn't grow. If a marriage doesn't profit, a marriage doesn't grow. If you do not profit, you don't grow. Every day, we should be taking it to the next day a profit. So when you go to the gym and work out, there should be a level of health and energy you take into the next day. When you're investing in your marriage and investing in your children, there should be a profit you take into the next day. Growth, profit, return ensures that everything in your life profits. So God is looking for, is there relational growth? Is there relational profit? Can I optimally use your marriage for my glory? Give me one second. Can I optimally use your life? That's why you're hearing a lot of videos. My goal is to help you grow holistically for God's optimal use. And so does God see growth and can he get a return from your relationships? That's with yourself, that's with God, that's with your family, that's with others. What about professional and financial? God wants you to maximize your gifts and talents and live professionally. Act like a professional. A lot of NBA players don't really like rookies, don't really like a lot of players that come in who do not have professionalism. Their talents are high, but their profession is not. Their professionalism is not. God wants us to be professional, to represent him in your companies, in your businesses, at the job, everywhere you go, professional. What about financial? All these things connect, and God is looking for growth and a return in these areas. Now, before we get into those 5 points, and before we get into the things that will help you in regards to the profit framework, let's define a couple of things. starting with defining profit. And then we'll get into some scriptures, and then we're going to get into those five things. Now, let's define profiting in this context. It says profiting refers to experiencing growth, blessings, and success in various areas of life, including spiritual, relational, and entrepreneurial aspects. It means achieving a harmony and fulfillment in our relationships with God, ourselves, and others, as well as in endeavors and responsibilities. So profiting in this context is referring to the experience. It refers to us experiencing growth. Don't you want to experience growth? Don't you want to experience blessings? Don't you want to experience success? Let me tell you something. There's nothing. I live this. I get to experience a successful marriage. And I'm not a perfect marriage. I'm not saying our marriage is perfect. No marriage is perfect. But my wife just got back from a walk. My wife, my daughter, and I, we go for walks when I can, because they'll go when it's, because it's getting hot now. But on Saturdays, we went out early and we're having business talks. I'm experiencing our growth. In the beginning of our marriage, we didn't really talk much like we're talking now. But because we invested and because we went through trials together, because we went through challenges together, because we've grown together, now I'm experiencing growth. How many of us are not experiencing the growth that we desire because we're not investing? Man, do you know how tough it was to invest in my marriage when I had to carry the 80% of the load? It is not going to always be easy to invest. But the earlier you invest, the better the compound interest is, the better the compounding effect is, the quicker and the easier things grow and you experience. Life was not meant for you and I to just experience financial growth, professional growth. Because if you only grow in those areas, those growths are temporary. I tell people all the time, my entrepreneurs who make a lot of money, I tell them, I say, listen, that success is pending. Depending on how you treat your family, depending on how you treat yourself, depending on how you treat God and the will of God for your life. Pending means that it's pending based upon some other act, because you can make a lot of money, but if you lose your health, you lose your wealth. If you lose your relationships, you lose your money, you lose your revenue. Because now you have to invest that money to try to save your marriage. And how much does divorce cost? How much does the loss of a child cost? What I mean by losing a child, they're in different lifestyles, and their resentment towards you has caused a gap between y'all two. How much does that cost? Now your efforts entrepreneurially and owning your business or your success is now waning because you can't focus. And because you can't focus and flourish and be fruitful, because now you're fumbling through the fallings of your marriage, the fallings of your health, the failings of your health in marriage, and the failings of your relationship with God, now you can't even optimally succeed in entrepreneurial endeavors because you're not holistically growing and profiting. So it's important for us to experience all growth. God doesn't mind you and I to experience business growth, career growth. God wants us to grow, because the more we grow, the more we show. The more we can show the pharaohs, the presidents, the leaders of the world that God's principles still last. God's principles, though ancient, are eternal. God wants us to grow professional so that we can be like Joseph and stand in the palace and help solve the problems of pharaohs. He wants that. But he also wants family. And look what God did for Joseph. Even though Joseph grew professionally, he still allowed there to be connection at the end for family. So God wants us to grow in every area, profit in every area, so that we can experience the growth of a marriage. Listen, yes, my money is growing, but I don't want my money to outgrow my marriage. I want my money to catch up to my marriage. I want my money to catch up to the growth of my family, because when those areas are grown and growing, then I don't have to worry about experiencing professional success temporarily or not in its full duration. So God wants you to experience the growth in your own personal life. Oh man, God wants you to experience the growth of you growing spiritually. Oh man, he wants you to experience the growth from a growing prayer life. Do you know, have you experienced a season? All of us had that season walking with God where our prayer life was growing. Why do you think the devil tried to snuff it out? Because he knows that the more you experience the growth of prayer, the growth of consecration, the growth of holiness, you won't have holes and mess. Growing emotionally where you're not triggered anymore. You're not triggered by your ex anymore. Imagine experiencing a life where you no longer have to experience the tugs and triggers of an ex, the tugs and triggers of parental pressure, and the tugs and triggers of the trauma and drama you experienced early. Imagine experiencing that growth. Imagine experiencing the growth of you mentally, where you no longer struggle with imposter syndrome, where you no longer struggle with fear of failure, where you no longer struggle with limiting beliefs. Imagine growing physically where now what used to ache don't ache no more. The things that used to hold you back physically no longer do. Imagine being able to experience the growth of chasing your kids, playing with your kids. So profit refers to experiencing growth and blessings. Don't you want to experience blessings? How many of our blessings are held back because we're held back? How many of us by now should have already experienced a blessing? How many single people under the sound of my voice should have already experienced courtship and marriage? How many of my marital people out there right now should have already experienced a greater level of love by now? How many of my business owners and entrepreneurs should have already experienced business explosion by now? But because of you being held back, that's held back. How many people who are in a career path should have already experienced promotion by now, but because of your own issues, you're held back? Until we become a blessing that activates the blessings, we won't be blessed. Now, we're blessed because of what Jesus done. What I'm not saying is there's two types of blessed. We're blessed because of position. Because as sons and daughters of God, we're blessed. There's another level of blessed, not another level, but there's another area of blessed, which means promotion and blessings that God gives based upon maturity. Our level of maturity determines the levels that we grow to, determines the blessings we experience. That's why I'm getting my life in order. That's why I'm ordering my life. That's why I'm working to make sure that everything is in alignment so that I can receive the blessings on time and not delayed. It also says refers to experiencing success. So God wants us to experience growth, blessings, and success in every area of our lives. It means achieving a harmony and fulfillment in our relationships with God, ourselves, and others, as well as in our endeavors and responsibilities. So God wants you to grow an area because every area grows every area. Understand that. Now, in this context, we're going to talk about investing and how they all connect. Investing, profiting, and how they connect. Investing refers to allocating resources such as time, effort, and money into various aspects of our lives or life to foster growth and development. That's big. Give me one second. That's huge. Investing determines profiting. Investing refers to allocate. That means you allocate resources. I'm going to invest time here. That means putting time blocks that this is my time for family. This is my time for myself. This is for my time for God. This is my time for business. This is my time for personal development. Allocating time. What else? Effort and money. See, you can allocate time, but not staying committed to that time with effort. You're not going to profit. And you got to put some money into it. You got to put time, effort, and money into various aspects of life to foster growth and development. You and I must be strategic in how we invest. The world system is designed for you not to invest in God, invest in you, and invest in family. All my entrepreneurs, all my career people, anybody working in the world system as we speak, you already know that the systems were designed satanically for you not to profit in those areas. Because he knows that if you profit one dimensionally and don't profit holistically, you will only experience profit temporarily. That you'll be hot for 7 years. You'll make a lot of money in 7 years, but now you got to spend all of your wealth to get health in your life, in your relationship with God, and in your family. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people right now that call me and they're about to experience divorce and they know how much divorce costs. I got parents calling me right now. They're losing their kids as we speak. Put them through private school. Allocated a lot of money. Academically, they allocated a lot of money for them to go to college. They allocated a lot of money, but they was emotionally unavailable. Spiritually babes, their spiritual growth was younger than their children. So you and I have to be strategic. I must invest, I must allocate time, put effort in that time, put financial resources in that time, put emotional resources into that time, put mental resources into that time, put spiritual resources in that time with my wife, with your husband, with my children, with your children, with yourself, with myself, with God. You got to look at your week, and I want you to do this. I want you to write down a sheet of paper, the allocations of your time. You could do it. You don't got to do it now, but do it later. I want you to write down, come back at the 21-minute marker, and I want you to write down how you allocate your time, effort, and money. Look at your bank statements. Look at how you spend your time. Look at where you put your energy, and you'll see if you're set up to profit in every area. And it's going to feel difficult in the beginning, but easy on the front end, hard on the back end. Hard on the front end, easy on the back end. Hard is only temporary. Then when you go through the hardness of life, then you develop the habits of life, then you experience the health of life. Profiting, on the other hand, signifies achieving. See, you can't have a profit without investment. The only way you can experience profits without investments is through inheritance. The only way you can experience profit without investment is through inheritance. You inherited somebody else's profit, right? So it says profiting, on the other hand, signifies achieving. You achieved it. You invested, you put the work in, and you achieve it. How many of you all are excited about achieving? Raise your hand. You can put it in this chat or you raise your hand. How many of y'all are excited about achieving? But you can't achieve without investing. Profiting, on the hand, signifies achieving favorable outcomes. Listen, what outcomes do you want to experience? Listen, I want my latter to be greater than my former. It says achieving favorable outcomes. See, listen, outcomes derive from inputs and outputs. Inputs determine outputs. Outputs determine outcomes. What you put in determines what you put out, determines what comes out. Right now, you are creating habits. You are living a life that will either determine favorable or unfavorable outcomes. You determine. Profiting, on the other hand, signifies achieving favorable outcomes or benefits from these investments. You cannot get profit without investments. We're talking about the right investments, right? The connection between investing and profiting lies in the principle. Here we go. We're getting biblical. The principle of sowing and reaping. By wisely investing in personal growth, relationships, skills, and opportunities aligned with biblical and one's values and goals, individuals can reap the rewards of improved well-being success, fulfillment, and generational impact in every area of life. That's amazing. It says the connection between them, read again, because it's powerful, lies in the principle of sowing and reaping. By wisely and wisdom, we know from scripture, does not come without reverence. Nobody walks in wisdom without reverence, reverencing God. The fear of God and the fear of God's designs leads to wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom is a muscle that grows. So the more I reverence God, the more I begin to grow in wisdom as a single, as a married person, as a parent, as an entrepreneur, as a career-driven individual. Then you begin to wisely invest in personal growth because now you understand the ramifications. See, there's two ultimate realities, family. It's appointed for every one of us to die. And after the judgment, if God tarries another 150 years, you and I will die. That is the inevitable. And what's bigger than death? Meeting with your maker. And if you have rarely met with your maker down here, it's going to be awkward when you meet him for the first time up there. See, my friend, I want to meet him down here so much that when I meet him up there, it won't be awkward. Will all my accounts be perfect? No. No one's accounts are going to be perfect, but those accounts will be profitable. And so when you want to be judged with profitable and you want to be a profitable servant, so that when you get to heaven, man, you and God is eating. Listen, I want my judgment to be over food. I want me and God to be so cool that God be like, yo, son, we're going out to eat. We're going out to eat with my judgment. Nah, man, we just going to go, you know what I mean? We're going to go over this real quick while we eat some wings and stuff. I want that level of friendship. When I get to heaven, God's like, yo, my boy up here, man, boy, you killed down there, bro. Not killed. You did your thing, my boy. Man, we profited in every, man. When I leave here in my 80s or so, and God be like, man, because of what you did, look at your daughter profiting. Look at the legacy you left in marriage. Look at the, like, that matters, fam. Bro, if I get a divorce, that crumbles everything I taught. Because if I can't teach myself, how can I teach you? So by wisely investing in personal growth, relationship skills, and opportunities aligned with biblical and one's values and goals, we can reap the rewards of improved well-being, success, fulfillment. And that's why the devil is after your profitability, because he knows when you experience these experiences, you won't go back to bad experiences. That's why I tell people when they ask me, coach, my authors out there, and they're nervous and they struggle with imposter syndrome, because that's what I used to struggle with. And they struggled with this fear of failure and all these mental blockers in their minds. And they like, man, coach, I don't know if I could put this business. I don't know if I could put this book. I said, man, listen, let me tell you something about the power of finished. Once it's finished, it's released. Let me tell you something. When I got my first book, I don't have it here. But as I was writing my first book, man, I was going through suicidal thoughts. I was struggling with imposter syndrome so bad. I had insecurity so bad, but God said, write the book. But when I finished that book and I put my name, Joshua Ezzy, in Amazon, and I saw that book pop up, and when I ordered that book and I felt that book in my hands, cried. I said, it is finished. And when Jesus was on the cross, now let's get to the big finish. Nothing happened until it was finished. The 3 years that Jesus worked was not sealed until he said, it is finished. When it was finished, the 2,000 plus years of impact spawned. If you don't respond, things won't spawn. What things in your life should have already spawned into action, but you didn't finish? The devil doesn't want you to experience finished. He don't want you to experience fulfillment because he knows that is the most addictive substance on the planet. You think drugs are addicting? You think sex is addicting? You think all those things are addicting? Imagine the substance and the feelings of fulfillment. That's why the devil doesn't want you to experience these things, man. He don't want you to experience profitability in your prayer life. He'll make you pray more. He don't want you to experience the experience of sanctification and consecration because you want to go further. He don't want you to experience the finishing of a book and then don't let you get a fee. Don't let you get what's some things called where they give you 5 stars and a review. A positive review. Don't let you, when you put that, oh, I had people in my mindset coaching program, two of my entrepreneurs in the last program that we did, they was going through our mindset program. One struggled with fear of failure. The other struggled with imposter syndrome or something along those lines. And you should have saw how much they struggled and how they felt putting a video out. And I said, listen, if you don't put no videos out, you can't expect your business to grow. People got to see you. People want to be connected to you. And you should have, some of them took, one of the ladies took a couple of weeks. Another lady took another couple of weeks, right? But when they posted their video and then they went live, when they went live for the first time, they was nervous. But about 5-10 minutes later, a comment popped up. Another comment popped up. And when they saw the comments of the ladies saying how much they needed that video, their need for that video fed into them a level that says, I got to keep going because it ain't about us no more. It ain't about you. It ain't about me no more. Profiting is not about us. It includes us, but it's not about us. So you can't allow those limiting beliefs to limit you, because if it limits you, it'll limit your children. Now, let's get to some scriptures. I'm going to go long today. This is going to turn into one of those videos I'm going to use for my programs. Now, this is a training. This is going to go a little long today. This is for the people who really want, because we're going to have to go a little. I might go a whole hour on this one, and I'm going to answer a couple of questions. But I'm gonna have to break this down because it's so powerful. Now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 scriptures. I'm not gonna labor like most will labor. I'm gonna try not to labor like most preachers will labor. Now, most of these preachers don't labor like they twist scriptures so they don't have to be in the midst of scripture. So we're talking about them solid preachers. I ain't gonna labor like I normally labor because I have too many of them. But when I read through these scriptures, you'll begin to understand the foundational principles of profiting. Okay, let's get to Proverbs 14:23. It says, in all toil, there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. We're setting the stage. In all toil, there's profit. So in all toil, there's profit. But the issue is we're not toiling in every area. In all toil, there's profit, but we're not toiling in all areas. A lot of us, we're profiting in one area or two areas, but we're mere talk in every other area. How many of us are just mere talk in our spiritual walk, mere talk in our personal development, mere talk in our relationship growth, mere talk in our professional development, mere talk in our financial goals and aspirations? We're mere talk. And it says mere talk tends only to poverty. So if you just talk about it, but you don't walk about it, then you get mad if you don't profit with it or in it. So if you're just going to talk, you can't just talk all the time. You got to walk. You got to walk more than you talk. I think they said Mother Teresa said to share the gospel and use words if necessary. Share success and use words if necessary. Share holistic success and use words if necessary. People should see, oh, he's profiting in every area. She's profiting in every area. That's why I invest, because when you invest, you can't hide. You can't hide poverty or prosperity all the time. People gonna find out you got money, or people gonna find out you don't have money. People gonna find out if your marriage life is good, or if your marriage life is not good. That's why I invest in my wife. I'm telling you, I invest in my marriage because my marriage is going to be seen. That's why, I mean, listen, I have to invest because they're going to see it. I can talk all day in these videos. I can talk all day to those kids in my school about relationships. I can write a book on relationships all day. But until you see it, you will see if you should listen to me. That's why when I go to basketball games, I just let my wife be her. And when she lay on my shoulder and when she holds my hand, when she always want to be beside me, kids be coming to me and be like, I want what you have. What you mean? Miss Dez, I saw how your wife was, you know what I mean? Why your wife was like, that's what I want. I said, fam, you got to invest. And about a few years from now, you will see if I'm a good father. There should be some fruit. Yesterday, our school had a oratorical contest. And one of the great, there's a couple of, my nephew was in there. There was a couple of kids or people that in my life that they've seen that I've helped. They've seen that I've been invested in. And you know what they said? You know what my brother Coach Mel said and another gentleman said to me? He says, man, those are Ezzyites. I said, Ezzyites? Those are Ezzyites. We see Ezzy all in them kids. Bro, I was like, because I invest in these kids, when they get up on the stage, they know that's an Ezzyite right there. That kid been with Josh. That kid been with Mr. Ezzy. That kid spent time, and you see it. So people will see it. Nobody had to call my name on the stage. Nobody had to give me no accolades, but people know. That's why people don't want me to leave. People don't want you to leave sometimes because they know if you leave, the investment leaves. So in all tour, there's profit, but mere talk tends on the power. I labored enough. See, I don't went too long on the first verse. Matthew 16, 26. Here we go. It gets real now. For what will it profit a man if he or she gains the whole world but loses their own soul? Or what shall a person give in return for their soul? What profits you? To gain the whole world, but lose your life, lose your family, lose your children, lose your marriage, lose your mind. What profit? My multimillionaires out there, my multi-billionaires out there, what profits you? To gain the whole world. Listen, man, I heard LeBron James say a few weeks back about how in order to be great, you have to sacrifice loved ones. That's the biggest lie on earth. That is not greatness. Ask Kobe Bryant what greatness is. Kobe Bryant spent 20 years in the NBA. I'm not saying he sacrificed his family. I'm not sitting there saying that I don't know what he was like as a father or husband. I just know within 2 years of his retirement, I heard him say in an interview that now he gets to invest back into his family what they had to sacrifice because of him sacrificing them. And within 2 years of his retirement, him and one of his daughters are dead. LeBron James, I don't know how him and Savannah is. I don't know how him and Bronny and Bryce is and his baby girl. I don't know. So what I hear will determine what I will see eventually. Because if you sacrifice your family and be known by the world as one of the greatest NBA players of all time, to one day have a statue in front of the Lakers stadium or whatever stadium, and to have all of that, and the world knows your name, and banners everywhere, but your family is not where it needs to be. Now, I don't know. Now, him and Savannah, that's not my business. I'm just going off what that man said. And he may know how to do it, and he may have a way of doing it. I'm not here to judge. But what I am saying is that phrase pushed out into the world is problematic to the future groups of people or the people now who is going to be thinking that in order to be great, you have to sacrifice what God sees as great. That's a lie. So, listen, that's why the careers in this world is designed for you to pursue earthly, worldly accolades at the sacrifice or at the expense of family. And that is not God's design of greatness. Jesus was not all about the cross, even though he was. He still had touch. He still had conversations. He still invested. He still went off to pray. Jesus did it all and still did it all. That is not greatness. No, nothing. Don't get me wrong. There are seasons where certain things have to be put in front of the other, but there should be harmony. There should be a framework. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25 says, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. One who gives freely, whenever your wife give freely, whenever your husband give freely, whenever your children give freely, whenever God give freely. One gives freely yet grows all the richer. The more you give, the richer you become. Freely give. I don't care how long my wife wants to talk, I freely give this ear. Am I perfect all the time? No, but that's my heart. Whenever my goal is to make sure that I freely give, because I know this principle that one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give. Or she should give and only suffers want. How many people right now are withholding what they should give? You're withholding what you should give your wife to give to another woman. You're withholding what you should give to your husband to give to another man. You're withholding what you should give to your family, but you give to the church, you give to your job, you give to your business. You give outside, but you're withholding what you should give. And one day the Bible says you will suffer want. How many fathers are suffering, wanting a relationship with their children, but they know they've neglected them for years? How many mothers and mothers are suffering want, and their daughters don't want to spend time with them? Their sons don't want to spend time with them because of how they raised them. How many people are suffering want right now because they withheld what they should have given? I do not want to suffer want. If that means that I don't make a certain amount of money because I'm focusing on family holds success, so be it. It doesn't matter how much my gifts can make me. I can make all the money in the world and be bankrupt. How many billionaires, how many millionaires, how many people successful have all that they have, but don't have what they need? One gives freely yet grows all the rich, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. That's fulfillment. When you water your marriage, man, your marriage will water you. a farmer who plants and waters, what he has planted, what she has planted will then bring back to them. Are you dry because you didn't water what should have been watered? Matthew 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? Your heart is where your treasure is. Luke 6, 38, give and it will be given to you. Give. And instead you say, fine, that's just not a money scripture. That's a principle scripture. Breakdown says, there we go. We on that verse. Hey, family, we there right now. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 9:63 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficient in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So God says, man, when you give at the level that you give, that you decide in your heart. So you got to decide in your heart how you're giving. Heart check. You got to decide, I'm going to give this. bountifully at this amount. You have to decide in your heart what you will give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So when you're a cheerful giver, you'll, hey, prompt anytime. Whenever your wife comes through, yeah, whatever. Whenever your husband, no, whatever. Your children, it don't matter. Because you know that they come before your business. And don't get me wrong, you could communicate. You could be like, okay, give me about 20 minutes. I do that all the time. Depending on, my wife understands, when she catches me in a flow, a train of thought, she knows the value of that train of thought because I communicated how my brain processed. Because early on in our marriage, she used to get offended and I used to be offensive to her because I didn't communicate clearly how I operate. So when I began to be frustrated because she cut me off in my train of thought, it caused a lot of problems. And then I had to begin to check my heart and say, Josh, you have to shift the way you think about this, bro. Because you got to either you communicate to her or you're going to create a mental thunderstorm that's going to hurt you. And so when I begin to communicate, we begin to talk about if it depends on the urgency of it. If it's urgent, of course, I close the laptop. But if it's something that is not as serious, but she just want, and she just curious, you know, she just want to talk or whatnot, then she knows, okay, he's in a train of thought. And then I communicate with her, give me 15 minutes. And in that 15 minutes, no matter where I'm at, I stop. So in that 15 minutes, I'm heading towards an end, not a extend, right? So of course, it's going to be times where, but that's communication. You talk to your wife and say, hey, right now, seasonally, in my career, in my job, it's going to be a little bit, they're going to be a lot more consuming. But what I'm going to do is let's pick times throughout the week where we can have quality time. It may not be quantity time, but it will be quality time. It may not be quantity and quality, but it'll be quality. So there's going to be times where your business is going to demand on you. There's going to be times where things, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting there making you think that everything will be properly balanced. But what I am saying is you will be able to have a harmony and a cohesiveness and a synergy in your relationships where they will understand and you will make sure, not in 20 years after your career is over, not after you done won multiple championships and made a bunch of money, whatever, and then you want to repay them. We're talking about within the same day, they will experience you and they will respect your sacrifices when they need to be made. But you need the Holy Spirit to gauge you so that you won't be using that manipulatively. Talking about, let me finish and I get back to you, you never get back to them. You're only going to create a way they won't believe you. And if once you lose the belief of a child or the belief of a wife, your marriage is now coming at the cusp of falling over. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. My cousin says, thanks for breaking down those scriptures. You're so welcome, family. I got you. Now, what you came for? That's what the title got you here. Five things that keeps us from profiting in every area. And I have a few things that I want to give you. And then we're going to talk about the worksheet that I'm going to give to you for free. Here are the five things that keeps us from profiting in every area. We just went through the introduction. We done went through a lot of points, 48 minutes. We done went through. Now we're going to show our hearts. We're going to see, is there anything in us that is going to hinder us from having profitability? Five things that keeps us from profiting in every area. Number one, distractions. Allowing worldly concerns and desires to divert our focus from spiritual and personal growth. Distractions, which means allowing worldly concerns and desires to divert our focus from spiritual and personal growth. That is very key. How many people are distracted right now? I tell people all the time, distractions leads to subtractions. The most guaranteed way to be subtracted is to be distracted. How many of us right now, we are distracted from the cries of your spouse, distracted from the heart of God, distracted from the warning signs your body is giving you that you are excessively working and you're at the stage of burnout? And how many of us right now, the screams of your children silently are echoing loudly, but you're numb to it, letting you know, hey, spend time with me. And those distractions will lead to subtractions. That's why you have to have an ear that is holistically tuned in, not just tuned in to your entrepreneurial aspirations, or tuned in your selfish aspiration, or tuned in into whatever worldly desires or whatever that's diverting your attention. We're talking about tuned in. When you come home, you read your wife. When you come home, you read your husband. You read your children. There's a lot of books we need to read every day. They'll tell you everything you know. There's bunches of books we need to read every day. We need to come home and read. Read means to reflect. We need to read our level and our quality and our state with God. We got to read that. Where am I with God? Read it. Read it or weep it. You have to read your marriage every day. You got to open the book of marriage and read your marriage. Where are we? How are we looking? Read. Read the room. Read your children. I saw something on TikTok or Instagram the other day. It was a husband was showing, he was a split screen, and a husband was showing on one side his interaction with his children when he's on his phone versus interaction with his children when his phone is not there. And it was alarming. It was showing how when the baby walked in and he was on his phone, the baby looked at the phone and the baby's countenance was kind of not as jubilant. But when the baby walked in the same room with the same toys, the baby lit up because there was no distraction there. If babies can read when they're not in their rightful place, what is it doing psychologically in them? That's when my baby is present, I gotta be off the phone. He also showed that when he was carrying his daughter, even though there was a connection, when he was carrying his daughter, he was on his phone. The baby was just not as up to beat, and the baby was looking at the phone, looking at him. But when he carried her without the phone, the baby's hands was up, the baby was laughing. You have to read the room. Read your marriage book. Read your parenting book. Read your spiritual book. Read your emotional and mental book. Read your physical book before you go to bed so you could be ahead tomorrow. Number two, lack of prioritization. Not placing God and family at the forefront of our lives, leading to neglect in these crucial areas. Lack of prioritization. You have to put things in their rightful place. God number one, you number two, family number three, everything else. The Holy Spirit's discretion will lead you. But these things will hinder you from profiting in their area when you lack prioritization. Listen, how many of us, if we're honest, God and family and ourselves is at the bottom of our top 10, if in the top 10. You have to prioritize. You have to, and that takes work, family. Listen, it is not easy. It's not easy, but it gets easier. Easier doesn't mean it'll always be easy. Easier means you are able to cope with the difficulty that you once couldn't cope with. But when you begin to say, yes, I wish I could be doing this right now, but the better investment is in this right now, then you will grow into a better husband. You'll grow into a better wife. You'll grow into a better parent. And you will begin to do the difficult thing effortlessly. That's mastery. Number three, selfish ambition. Pursuing personal gain and success at the expense of others, damaging relationships and hindering blessings. Man, oh man, oh man, the alarms are sounding in the souls of some right now. Pursuing personal gain and success at the expense. I talk to my entrepreneurs, the people who are high level, and they are frightened by this because they've pursued personal gain and success. And they've already pursued it at the expense. And now they're trying to pay for the damages. Some things money can't pay for. Some things money can't fix. And the devil knew this. Go get your money. Go get your success. Don't you think Kobe Bryant wished that he invested more time? Yes, the world cheers for Kobe, but his daughters are without him right now. I'm not saying he was selfish, but that's the world. The world we live in is a selfish world with selfish systems that will force you to adopt a perverted version of greatness at the expense of what's expensive. How many of us are losing something that is more expensive? I don't care if you got a Bugatti. I don't care if you got a $40 million home. That thing is never going to be more expensive than having to buy back your family. The most expensive thing on this planet that you have is your relationship with God. The second most expensive thing you have is you. The third most expensive thing is your family. And how much money can't even afford to buy back a child that you have allowed to harbor resentment in their heart for a decade? Pursuing personal gain and success at the expense of others, damaging relationships and hindering success. How many people right now are damaging their relationships and don't even know it? Some know it, but a lot don't. And hindering their blessings. The Bible says that he will not hear a man who is not taking care of his wife. That's why I take care of my wife, because I want my prayers to not only just be heard, because God hears them, but what our habits hinders the release of them. I don't want God just to hear my prayers. I want God to want to answer them at his providential timing and not at a delayed timing because of my lack of preparation or development. Number four, poor stewardship. Mismanaging resources, time, and talents, preventing us from maximizing our potential and profiting in all areas. Poor stewardship. God is looking for stewards. So if we mismanage our resources, time, and talents, they prevent us from maximizing our potential. For time's sake, we keep going. Lack of faith. God said, go back. Poor stewardship. I'm going to read what the Holy Spirit wants me to read. This. Mismanaging resources, time, and talent. So preventing us from maximizing our potential. So we see here that God cares about management. People want to be blessed, but people don't want to manage the blessing. My friends, I tell singles all the time, do you know how much it takes to manage a marriage? People want to be married, but man, you know what it takes to manage a marriage? We're talking about day-to-day management. We're talking about hour-to-hour management. People want to be blessed, but the blessing is too big for them. See, the goal in life is to match the weight of a blessing so that you can balance it out so it won't fly you off the seesaw. Or you're too heavy for the blessing and a blessing never slides and balances with you. So God wants us to become a blessing at the level of the blessing that we want to be blessed with. And that means you got to develop into stewardship. You have to grow into being able to manage. Because if you can't manage, there's going to be inevitable damage. This is the word God wants me to give today, because man, I'm flowing through the Holy Ghost right now. Whatever you mismanage, you will damage. That's why God is looking for managers. He cares about management. God doesn't just want you to be blessed. He wants you to steward the blessing. That's why I tell people healing happens when habits change. God's not going to heal you of diabetes. You're going to eat a whole pack of donuts in the next minute. God's not going to heal you of hypertension or heal you from heart disease if you're going to eat another bucket of chicken 5 minutes after you've been healed. Healing happens when habits change. If you want healing in your marriage, you can't practice the bad habits. You got to change the habits. If you want something else, you want something new to happen, you have to have new habits. So God cares about us maximizing, and you and I cannot maximize if we're not managing. Because a lot of people talk about how the maintenance on a Bentley, the maintenance on a Rolls Royce, a maintenance on a Bugatti costs more than the maintenance on a Honda. So the higher the blessing, the greater quality of the blessing, the bigger the blessing, the more you, listen, you can't just, oh my goodness. You know how many people can afford a marriage? Do you know how many people can afford a wedding, but can't afford a marriage? How many people can afford the sexual encounter, but cannot afford parenting a child? Oh man, people can afford a marriage. I mean, a wedding. They have the money for the wedding. Oh, beautiful. The flowers, everything looks great. Beautiful. But day one of the marriage, they don't have nothing in the marital bank account, the relational bank account, the spiritual bank account, the emotional, mental, physical bank account, the generational bank account to be able to afford the daily maintenance of a marriage. Oh man, you want to be blessed. But the blessing is only going to add stressing because you and I need to assess, can I steward this? And how, I heard someone say that wealth is measured by how many days you can go without having to make money. That's how wealthy you are. You're a level, I think it was Myron Golden who said, it's like you're 5 days wealthy if you can go 5 days without having it. He says your level of wealth is based upon how many days you can go without working and still have everything in your lifestyle still paid for. That's wealth. So you have to develop that wealth to go days. Like there are some families who are so wealthy. Okay. My wife just would bring her little chair in Jersey. Jersey Mike's. Okay. Listen, honey, do list. She says, we're going. So baby girl needs a little chair to eat. And she wants some Jersey Mike's. Okay. So I'll bring the Jersey Mike's. All right. And I'll bring the chair. All right. So they're gone. All right. Good. But God wants us to cultivate a level of wealth that when we do get into a marriage, we do get into an opportunity, we have enough to last us the full duration. Number five, lack of faith, doubting God's promises and provision, limiting our ability to trust and fully rely on him for guidance and blessings. So the reason, one of the five things that keeps the problem, we just lack faith. We don't believe that God is going to help us. We don't believe that God loves us. A lot of people lack faith because they have a poor vision of God. They think that God doesn't want to help them, that God doesn't want to bless them, that God doesn't love them. Lack of faith. Let's keep going for time's sake. Real quickly. Here are some points that I want to give you real quick, and we're going to break down the worksheet. The process to profiting in every area involves intentional growth and development in various aspects of life, including spiritual, relational, and professional dimensions. It entails these quick points I'm going to give you. Number one, self-awareness and personal growth. If you want to profit in every area, you have to be intentional in being self-aware. You have to be intentional. Hey, we're not there. Beware. Self-aware. I got to be intentional in my personal growth. It says understanding your strengths, weaknesses, and areas of improvement. So you have to take time to understand, hey, where am I not strong? If I'm not strong in a particular area in my marriage, I go find a brother to hold me accountable to strengthen me in an area who is have evidence and proof that is strong in that area. You're not going to have all the strengths that you need, but you have all the strength you need when you find your joy in God. And then God will be the source of your strength to let you know there's hope, there's faith, there's sustain. And then God will help bring the community and the individual or the resources to help you. But in order for you to be intentional, you got to be intentional. Self-awareness and growth. Number two, relationship building. You have to be intentional in building your relationships. You can't be lazy with this. Cultivating healthy and meaningful relationships with God, family, friends, and colleagues. You have to cultivate it intentionally. Number three, you have to be intentional in skill development. Continuously learning and enhancing your skills to excel in your personal and professional life. So ask yourself, what skills must I acquire to ensure that this doesn't expire? Skills, communication skills, relational skills, all different types of skills, financial stewardship skills. Number four, you got to be intentional with strategic planning, setting clear goals and developing actionable plans to achieve. You got to be strategic and plan. You got to set a plan. a marital plan, a parenting plan, a relational God plan, a holistic health plan. You got to develop a plan and execute it. Number five, you must be intentional with consistent effort and perseverance. My friend, you listen, I'm not going to lie to you and think that you're going to experience the full return by next Friday. That's not what I'm saying. But the more you become fruitful, you will have a greater chance of having those experiences continuously. But you must be intentional at being consistent and persevering. It says maintaining dedication and resilience in pursuing your goals despite challenges and setbacks. Because my friend, I'm going to tell you the God honest truth. Once you finish watching this video, some of you all, your excitement and zeal is going to skyrocket. The enemy's going to send a rocket to try to blow it up. So expect, as you begin to invest in your marriage more, to invest in the relationship with God more, to invest in every area more, expect resistance, but meet resistance with a changed mind. And know that resistance is proof you're going in the right direction. Number six, adaptability and flexibility. You have to be intentional. Listen. You have to be flexible in marriage, flexible in parenting. Like flexibility and adaptability is key. I wrote, adjusting to changes and embracing new opportunities to thrive in diverse situations. So God is going to shift. And when things shift for you, everything shifts with you. That's connected to you. God ain't just going to snatch you and leave your family behind. If he takes you here, your family goes with you. And you got to be a shifter, an adjuster. Like, you got to be able to roll with him. You got to be able to say, hey, this is like Francis, man. Marriage, man, you're going to go through different stages and different challenges. Parenting, different stages, different challenges. I remember when Hannah was first born and we had to stay up around the clock and I was averaging 2.5 to 3 hours of sleep a night. I had to adjust. I made sure that temporary season didn't become permanent. So throughout every stage, there's going to be adjustments. And if you catch an attitude when it's time to adjust, then you won't reach the altitudes that God desires for you to reach. Number seven, you must be intentional with integrity and ethical behavior, upholding moral values and principles in all interactions and decisions. God cares about integrity. If what your job or what your business is doing or the marketplace requires causes you to not honor your marriage or honor your family or honor God, you got to trust that God will supply your needs. I'm not saying quit. I'm not saying fire. I'm saying quit. I'm not saying leave. I'm saying stand and to see the salvation of the Lord. Time to say, eight, generosity and service, contributing to the well-being of others and making a positive impact in your community and family, et cetera, et cetera. You got to be intentional and being generous. Like we said with that scripture, man, those who water will be the ones that are watered. Nine, financial management, practice wise stewardship of resources and investing in opportunity to align with your values and goals. So you got to be intentional financially. Because money solves problems. Man, the Bible says money answers all things. Man, ain't nothing worse than being in a situation where you don't have enough money to answer a full problem. Got to be a good steward financially. Last, reflection and evaluation is huge. Got to be intentional in reflecting and evaluating. Regularly assessing your goals, celebrating successes, and identifying areas for growth and improvement. Reflection and evaluation is big. Every night, here's a practice I want you to do every night. Every night, I want you to reflect on all of your accounts. I want you, if you're married, I want you to reflect on how your marriage is doing and how it can be better tomorrow. You have kids, I want you to reflect on how was you as a father and a mother today and how can you be better tomorrow. If you're single, all of us, reflect on how was I as a child of God today? What limiting beliefs kept me believing in God's unlimitedness? Like what in me is not like God? And reflect so that you can properly and accurately project. Every night, reflect and evaluate where you are, because that will determine how far you are. Now, let's get to our worksheet. Here we go. Here's our worksheet that I have for you. It's called my profit framework. I put my entrepreneurs through it. I put my people in my Fulfillment Elite program through it. I put those that I coach one-on-one through it, depending on their goals and what they need. I put them through this. It's my profit framework. This comes from my book, Multi-Purpose, for the next few months, if not a couple of years, however the Lord leads me. I'm going to be in my book, Multi-Purpose, a lot, and my book, The Purpose of Relationships. Let me show you those books right now so you'll know what they are. I'll be heavily involved in this book right here, Multi-Purpose, How to Find and Fulfill Your Relationship Resource Pack, which is The Purpose of Relationships, and my workbook, coaching program, and card game. So I'm going to be in those a lot because I've noticed that a lot of us haven't taken notice of the severity of these things. So here's the profit framework that I utilize a lot. But the first thing I want you to do, I want you to identify some things. I want you to start assessing the obstacles or barriers to your profit in every area. Number one, identify the obstacles. What challenges or obstacles are currently preventing you from profiting in each area of your life? Relationships, finances, personal growth. For those who don't know what LifeWork is, LifeWork is my wife and I's educational and coaching company. We want your life to work. In order for your life to work, you have to work on your life, right? So that's what LifeWork is. Number two, evaluate limiting beliefs. Are there any limiting beliefs or negative thoughts that are hindering your progress? Number three, assess time management. How effectively are you managing your time? Are there any time-wasting activities that need to be eliminated or reduced? Review resource allocation. Are you allocating your resources, time, energy, money efficiently? Identify areas where resources can be optimized. It's huge. Reflect on commitment level. And if you need help with this kind of stuff, listen, I'm here, a coaching program. You can get it to my group coaching program, whether it's mindset mastery, relationship mastery, or my Fulfillment Elite program. You can go to my website and learn more about those. If you need a little bit more touch and help in there, one-on-one is also available. If you need help, you need me to help you go through these to help you in those specific areas. But here's a worksheet that you can do on your own if you need to. Reflect on your commitment level. On a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to achieving your goals in each area? That's big. Because if you ain't really committed, then you're not legitimate. All right? And you're not going to benefit, right? Here's the profit framework. And so I'm going to go ahead and P is for prioritize goals. R is to review and reflect. O is to optimize resources. F is to focus on growth mindset. I is to implement consistent action. And T is to track and adjust. That's my profit framework. Let's go through it. Number one, you got to prioritize goals. Identify and set clear, achievable goals in every area of your life. Action steps. List down your top three goals for each area. Generational, personal, relational, professional, financial. Set deadlines for each goal. Start off small, right? Clear, stretchable, small goals. All right, review and reflect. Regularly review your progress towards your goals. Reflect on what's working and what needs adjustment. So as you're doing this, you're prioritizing. Now you're in it. Now you're reviewing and reflecting. It's key to do this right here because then you'll be able to make early adjustments. Review and reflect. Because now when you reflect, you begin to say, okay, now I'm beginning to see a little change in my marriage. Okay, a little change. She smiled today. He opened up a little bit more today. Oh, my kid stayed around a little bit longer. Oh, man, I noticed this at my job. Review on what's working and what needs adjustment. Action steps. Schedule weekly. Here we go. Here's the practical. Schedule weekly or monthly review sessions. That's big. Write down your reflection and insights. Next, optimize resources. Evaluate, allocate your time, energy, resource efficiently. Actually, create a daily, weekly schedule to manage your time effectively. Your time, I tell people you spell time, L-I-F-E. How you spend your time is how you spend your life. Identify areas to reduce wasteful activities and focus on what truly matters. Optimize, because after you begin to review and reflect, you'll begin to see how valuable resources are, and then you begin to optimize them. Next, focus on a growth mindset. Adopt a growth mindset that embraces challenges and see failures as opportunity to learn. Because while you're doing this, you're going to fail in some areas. You're going to notice a lot of stuff and you're going to be alarmed, but you have to begin to cultivate a growth mindset to help you continue that process. Because sometimes we'll start a thing, but then we'll bump into a bad area of our mindset or our mentality that we'll be like, man, I'm really not there mentally. That's where my mindset mastery program can help you out, because then we have to do some mindset work. Develop a list. Here's some practical things you can do though. Develop a list of affirmations to reinforce a growth mindset. Seek out learning opportunities and resources to improve and grow. They could be my coaching program, somebody else's, books, resources, tools, videos. Go grow. I, implement consistent action. Develop and follow a consistent action plan to work towards your goals. Break down your goals into smaller, actionable steps. Prioritize tasks and commit to taking daily steps towards achieving them. So you implement consistent action. So now you're beginning, once your mind starts growing, now you start to become more consistent. And then you'll begin to see what is the best consistent plan that works for every area. Last but not least, T, track and adjust. Monitor your progress regularly using measurable indicators. Adjust your strategies as needed based on feedback and results. Talk to somebody. Find someone that can really show you, right? Action steps. Set up tracking systems to monitor your progress, whether it's accountability or having someone that can give you feedback. Apps, if there's some out there. Review and adjust your strategies regularly to track your progress. Stay on track. You track your progress and stay on track. Here we go. Here's the last thing that you can do. Reflect on your progress. What progress have you made so far towards achieving your goals? So do this for about a month to see how far you've gone. What obstacles have you encountered and how did you overcome them? Commitment to action. On a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to implementing the profit framework? Now this is after you have read all this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to implementing the profit framework? List down 2 to 3 actions you can commit to take immediately to start profiting in every area of your life. By completing this worksheet, you'll gain clarity on what's holding you back and develop a structured approach to start profiting in every area of your life. I pray this video was a blessing to you. For those who watched to this point, I know for a fact that you're serious about this. Those who's watching me live until this point, I know you're serious about this. And if you're serious about this, then be curious about this. I have a couple of resources that I know for a fact that will benefit you if you're willing to put the work in. Like I said before, give me 1 second. Yeah, you can check out my book, Multi-Purpose. It's a book designed to help you better understand all purposes and the responsibility required for those things to grow. Also, check out my other resource pack that just launched a couple of weeks ago called The Purpose of Relationships. It's a book that talks about relationship with God, relationship with self, relationship with our families, relationship with people under our influence, and how we can become more relatable in those areas. And so if you're an individual that says, hey, coach, I want to get to a place where I'm optimized in my purpose, where I'm functioning at a high level in every area of my life. And coach, I want to get to a place where I go from not knowing what my purpose is to knowing what all my purposes are. Or I want to get to a place, coach, where my relationship with God is thriving and not surviving. My relationship with self is thriving and not surviving. And all of my relationships is growing at a high level. And you want to eliminate the strain in your relationships. And you're tired of relationships being strained. You're tired of yourself being deranged and not knowing what it is that you're here to do. And my friend, check out those resources. Also, if you find yourself in a position where you're just bumping into your limiting beliefs, man, like you're like, coach, I have imposter syndrome. I have fear of failure. I have insecurities. I have unworthiness. I have all these different mental blockers in my mind, coach. And I want to have the success, coach. I want to be great. I want to be great God's way. But coach, I don't know where to start with these mental blockers, and I want to get to a place where I'm mentally free, then check out my Mindset Mastery program. We're already in the second round of our program. The third round of our program starts in May. But no matter when you watch this video, you can get into the program because all the resources are recorded, and every Monday, Lord willing, depending on how long I'll do these, you will be able to be within our mindset community and you'll be able to be sharpened. So if that's something that intrigues you or you resonates with you, then check it out. Also, check out my other coaching program called Relationship Mastery. This program is designed for you to be a master in your relationships, where you are authentic, where you are respectful, where you are humble, where you are empathetic, where you are efficient in your communication, and where you are adaptive. Those are the 6 pillars of relatability. And you want to get to a place where all of your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your significant other, your relationship with your children, your relationship with the people under your influence in the marketplace, whatever, is at a high level and is optimized, then check out Relationship Mastery, where you will overcome in 6 months, or you will be in position or equipped to overcome all of the relational barriers that's keeping your relationship from being successful. Because let me tell you, my friend, Your relationship is a ship. It's either sinking or it's sailing, or it's circling, or it's aimed at the right direction and going where it needs to be. So check that resource out. It's a six-month program designed for you to be equipped and to become an individual who is mastering or will be equipped to become a master in relationships where they can be effective and optimized. My mindset program is 3 months, and they cycle every 3 months. Relationship mastery cycles every 6 months. And my Fulfillment Elite coaching program, this is what this video was giving you access to. My profit framework is in there. The five generational, relational, personal, financial, professional, those are in there. All that stuff is helping individuals, high level entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs or career people who are high performers and entrepreneurs, to help them profit in every area and be about God's full business and not just the business that God has given them or graced them to be talented in regards to their professional endeavors. And so if you want to fulfill at an elite level, and where we can have a high-level kingdom conversations, high-level family conversations, high-level business conversations, where we meet up twice a year and we spend time with each other and we sharpen and we grow. And if you want that level of access to myself and what we're doing, and access to other people where you could grow and really succeed at a high level, then check out my Fulfillment Elite program designed for you. And or if you're just a person that says, hey, coach, I just want to work on my relationships, I want to work on my singleness, you can join one of my life work communities for a membership price where you could be able to invest in yourself. The reason why you have to have price points, because it will determine how much you are willing to invest. And so every access point of my life work company, my wife and I company, there is an affordable access point for everyone. You can come in at the $27 level where you're just working on your singleness, you're working on your relationship. You're going to have challenges and resources and tools that are going to help you do that. Either way, no matter where you get in, no matter where you fit in, you're guaranteed, if you put the work in, potentially, and I can't guarantee because I don't know your work ethic, but if you're willing to put the work in, you know, I know for a fact these resources will help you expedite the process from going from strained relationships to succeeding ones, from going to mentally blocked to mentally flowing, going from relational trauma to relationship success. Or even entrepreneurially in business. A lot of business people, man, just by them fixing their marriage, the favor of God. So you can make a lot of money the world's way, but if you want God's favor, so you can make money out there, but you'll be stressed. You know what I'm saying? You'll be, you won't have God's favor that will vitalize you. I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs get more business success by taking care of the other areas of their life. So let's answer a couple of questions. Let me get out the way. I went a little bit long on this video because I believe this video is going to serve as a training or a tool for a lot of people. So you can get that worksheet now at mycoachjosh.com. Let me see if I can post that link right now for those who are watching live. Those who are watching later, you can get those links in the description box below. Couple questions I got to go because my wife wants some Jersey Mike's and I don't know when she's going to feed baby girl. So I got to make sure she has her chair. So Timothy Pastor, what do you think about age gaps? What's too much? For example, a 40-year-old man married to a 20-something woman. Great question. Listen, gaps are gaps. See, age gaps provides or reveals gaps in awareness, gaps in understanding, gaps in wisdom, gaps in success. So a 40-year-old man marrying a 20-year-old woman, that 40-year-old man is expecting something a lot of 20-year-old women cannot give. A 40-year-old man, if he's a solid man, and unless those things are far few in between that God ordains those, in my opinion, because not too many people on both spectrums are patient enough, prudent enough, equipped enough, to provide and steward the needs of those different people from those different gaps. So if a 40-year-old man is trying to be with a 20-some-year-old woman, that 20-year-old woman is still looking for themselves. They're still trying to find themselves. They're trying to find purpose. They still have things. And you 40 years old, are you vibrant enough to keep up? She wants to move and groove. You know what I'm saying? She's trying to win, not lose. She's out here. She's vibrant. She's young. You 40-year-old man, he's an old 40-year-old woman with a 20-year-old man, like they've experienced stuff. And certain people at that age, they've experienced stuff that they don't maybe not want to re-experience at the vibrant level that someone wants to newly experience. Not a lot of 20-year-olds have the mentality of a strong 40-year-old. And not a lot of strong 40-year-olds have the vibrancy of strength for a lot of 20-year-olds. So God has to be the only one that has predestined for that gap to be bridged. If not, it's only going to be a burden. Hope to help. Aries says, hey, coach, how do you know if God removed his grace or mercy from you? What are the symptoms of a reprobate mind? Great question. That first part's tricky. How do you know if God removed his grace? It's not that God has removed his grace or mercy. It could be that you are not resourceful with that resource. You're not respectful of that resource. And the disrespect of that resource limits you from being resourceful with that resource. Therefore, you're not resourced by that resource to be able to be supported by that resource. Right? So that right there means I think God's grace and mercy, the Bible says God's grace and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. But I think when a person doesn't respect or doesn't utilize their resource, they suffer the consequence, which is a reprobate mind. So let's look at grace and mercy. Grace, that's why the goal in life is to be more in the grace lane than the mercy lane. The grace lane is the flowing favor of God that's undeserved. You want to be in a river of God's grace, where God's grace is funneling you down his predestined pipeline of sanctification, sanctifying you, enabling you, stewarding you, developing you, picking you back up when you fall in your sin. We talk about sins that you're trying to not sin with no more, and God's grace is sufficient for you. Trials that you go through down these sanctification pipelines, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for those who respect the sufficiency of those grace or whose heart is willing to embrace the grace. Mercy is when you know what you're doing is wrong. Some regard. And you tripping, and you come to your mental conclusion. You came to your pig pen, and you like, yo, I need help. You cry for mercy. Mercy said, I got you, boy. But boy, ooh, you was close now. Reprobate mind says, bump your grace, bump your mercy. I'm doing me. That's when. Now don't get me wrong. Grace and mercy may still peep around the corner. Because God's providential plan knows when your mind will be renewed. And then God's grace and mercy will patch up the wounds and do the surgery needed and redeem the time and whatever it needs to be done. Oh, my wife calling. Give me 1 second. Hello? Oh, yeah. I'm about to end the video. Y'all need it right now? No, you fine. You want me to... So what y'all doing now? Who's that singing? Oh, she's up? Okay. I'm wrapping up about 5 minutes, and I'll bring it to you. Where y'all going to go look at the stuff? Y'all, you want me to go, or you don't want me to go? All right. Okay. Let me get done. All right. Bye. Wrap it up, guys. So yeah, help to help. Distraction leads to distractions. Hey, coach, can you still have the Holy Spirit with a hardened heart? Yeah, man. It depends if your heart has the Holy Ghost. I gotta go. Love y'all. Y'all be blessed. I pray this video and these resources are a blessing to you. I hope that it helps you. And I'm excited about these videos. I'm glad that it is what it is. And I'm glad the Lord spoke today. And I pray that it continues to speak in your heart throughout the day. Love y'all. Gotta go. Y'all be blessed. Peace.